Ready?
Yeah.
All right. It's 5:30. We'll call the work session order. Battery storage moratorium. Jack? Jack? Okay. The battery storage moratorium. Why don't you go over that, like what we discussed, if you like.
Well, basically, you're probably familiar with the fact that there's been at least three known fires at storage battery sites in New York. And as a result of that, the state of New York has put together a working group to try to take a look at this issue and how to deal with this. Because these fires, as they found out up north, can be very difficult to control and put out. I guess they were saying they basically had to let it burn itself up. In the meantime, they had to evacuate people briefly, bring them back. So I made the suggestion that right now we have a moratorium on solar farms. And we're going to be presenting to you probably within the next couple of weeks. What was that Appendix A in the first draft you got of the club? As a separate document, which makes a number of recommendations of updating and we believe improving the solar farm codes and some other laws too, but that one. And we do already have on the books a solar battery storage law, but that law needs to be taken a look at right now in the context of what we know about solar at this point. So I was asking the board to consider putting a moratorium on solar battery storage until the state and us can get our ideas on how to approach this thing as far as siting if they come up in the future. We currently have two solar farms already up operating. Well, at least one of them's operating, the other one's getting ready to operate. They're constructed, and we have two in process, one on West Genesee and Fenner, and the other one on Cold Springs off Pittsburgh.
Two more that are approved and haven't started construction.
The one on Lansing. The other one, I don't think, is ever going to go. It's been approved for a year now. But anyway, one of those, West Genesee, their site plan had storage battery storage on it. We had a lot of discussions about that during the process. And we were prepared to approve that project, but we had about 12 conditions for that approval, two of which dealt directly with battery storage. And apparently, when the applicant saw the draft of the site plan resolution, they came back and withdrew the battery storage they took it out of the site. We now have a revised site plan that has no solar storage battery on it. So we currently have none in process or on site or approved, but no construction that have battery storage in them. And this is a perfect time to put a moratorium in place so we can work on this issue and make sure we do it right, because a lot of these can get sited awful close to residential. That was part of the problem we had up north. It was right next to residential there. So that was basically the request and the rationale for it.
The one on across from the Y, there's no battery storage there, right?
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
So there's none, there's going to be none regardless.
There's none in Lysander.
Okay.
Right now. Without a moratorium, we could get more applications. Right.
Yeah, and this resolution would, even though, as long as we start the process, it would hold them off anyway.
Stop.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we had suggested,
yeah,
because we had one in process,
yeah,
we had suggested,
yeah,
that you put language in there that would basically say, the moratorium applies to any storage battery in process also. to make sure it doesn't go ahead, just to stop it. That was all. But we won't need that language now.
We won't need it?
You really don't.
Okay. I was going to say we could add it, but okay.
At this point, we don't need it.
Okay.
Thanks, Jay.
So, I have a question, and it's only absolutely coincidental because I was on Route 28 going up to Long Lake a few weeks ago. Forget about solar for a minute. If I wanted to have a battery storage area in the town of Lysander, is that permissible under our existing codes?
Yes. Section 102.
Okay. Because just north of Old Forge, I forget the town, they are fighting tooth and nail to keep this battery storage operation from going into place. And my recommendation to us, again, I know nothing about this, but it would be, why don't we do a moratorium on battery storage in general? Because the same thing could happen here that's happening up in the Adirondacks.
So that's why our code actually separates battery storage from solar, because battery storage can be used for other applications, whether it be a hydro plant, like the village could have a battery energy storage facility. You could have a facility with vehicle chargers that could potentially have battery energy storage, where they buy off-site solar stored and batteries on site and then recharge electric vehicles. Wind, obviously, you can have battery energy storage. Any place where there's grid capacity constraints, these battery energy storage systems can be sited.
And probably will become more prevalent as we move forward.
But what's happening in the Adirondacks is not a specific application, not a battery storage thing for a specific application, but it's a battery storage operation. That's all they're going to do is store batteries. I don't know much more about it. So if I had 10 acres or 50 acres and my business was to store batteries for what purpose, I don't know, but apparently there's a business that can operate there, we might run into a situation in the town of Lysander if someone, for whatever reason, picked us, where we could have a potential serious problem, because those batteries are no different than solar batteries once they go on fire.
Our monitoring was going to be for Section 102 of our code. That's what we're putting a stop to. And as long as that's there, if it's a battery storage facility, they still need to get a permit under 102. So they're not going to be able to do that.
Regardless of whether it's solar.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Like Al said, it was separated in the law. You have solar battery storage, and then you have under the code, at Section 102, you have 102. Battery storage for other purposes.
But they have to get a permit for that.
Yes.
And we can decide whether that's an appropriate use or not.
The moratorium, and we can decide what we want to do with situations.
Yeah, but I'm confused. You just said the moratorium has nothing to do with section whatever. It's just it's just the solar moratorium. We're only doing a moratorium.
There's two sections. There's solar law, and then there's the stored battery storage law.
Okay.
We already have a moratorium on the solar.
We're going to do that
now
tonight.
We're going to do a moratorium on the battery.
Okay. But just for solar or just battery in general?
Battery. Because the solar moratorium's already covered.
No,
solar.
I got you.
Battery. This is going to cover any other use.
Yeah, but the resolution says to establish a moratorium on battery storage for solar projects. Yeah,
it should say for under Section 102 of the town.
Can we change the resolution?
Sure, we can.
So,
you got. Right now, I would leave that language in and add Tony's language to it.
Okay.
Because right now, they can come in here any day with an application to put battery storage
in existing.
Back in. So I would leave that in. If you want to be specific to solar,
fine.
And to section. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, no, 102 covers it all. So section 102 covers it all, because battery energy storage by our town code, battery energy storage and solar are two separate special use permits. So it's not solar is a site plan approval, battery energy storage is a special use permit. But they're two separate pieces of code. So we really don't need to reference the solar in the moratorium resolution. All we need to reference is section 102, and it'll cover any existing solar
farms. I got Tony doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
And even though I'm advocating this, are we going to potentially hurt any business that only wants to store a battery for their shop or something?
This would be commercial energy storage.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't and I mean, it's like a. I think the project you're referring to up north is a battery recycling facility.
Something like that. Yes, it's
the battery. Because I remember reading an article in the paper about it, but it's a battery recycling facility.
Exactly.
Our code has sections that so you'd only be able to do it. It would be allowed use in industrial. And again, because it's a recycling center, our industrial code would require a special use permit. And there's ways to properly laws and regulations related to battery recycling that would apply that whoever would have to
do it for those two meetings.
Okay. But in the meantime, what we're going to do tonight is put a moratorium on all of that.
Yeah.
Public hearing.
We got to set the public hearing.
Understood. But eventually,
That's what he just changed. It.
All right. Great.
Anything else?
Can I hear the?
To consider a town a local law to establish a moratorium for Section 102 of the town code. This motion shall authorize the town clerk to advertise for same. So instead of taking what he did, we're inserting for section 102 of the town code where on battery storage for solar projects, taking that out and inserting that.
And during discussion, we'll explain what section 102 is. So the people know.
Tony can or Al can. I don't. I can't explain it.
No, I mean someone should. Otherwise, it's just a number.
It's section 102 battery energy storage systems.
Okay, it's battery.
If you go to battery the energy under storage code and you put in battery under search, and that all comes in under chapter 102.
Thank you, Dina.
Okay. Anything else? So we'll move on to the lighting installation in Whitetail Woods and Timber Banks.
So we won't make any motions on this or moving on this. I'm still waiting on some cost for National Grid connection for these new lights, but we do have four new lights that need to go in Timber Banks Lighting District and three new lights that need to go in Whitetail Woods Lighting District. These are sections of the tracks, housing tracks that have completed development. And they're in a lighting district. The pieces of the development have lights installed. And now the new homeowners, deserve to have that benefit of street lights. And there's an indication that the homeowners want the street lights in these new sections of the two existing developments. I've gotten two quotes on materials. The way we're going to do this is we have an existing streetlight maintenance contract with PC&G, and we can do the electrical work and the installation work under that contract to wire these and make the connection to the transformer and wire the light poles. We're going to work with the highway department and their new excavator to trench and install the Schedule 40 conduit for the new light poles, and that should minimize out-of-pocket cost for the districts to do this work. So to pay for this work, we have savings from the LED streetlight conversion project. We didn't spend all the money that we bonded for, so we can reallocate some of that existing debt service to pay for these new lights that need to be installed. So I should be in a better place to have a final cost estimate next week after I get some more information out of National Grid of what our connection cost will be, and then I can we'll put a motion on the agenda to approve that expenditure for those.
We'll make sure that portion of the bond is allocated appropriately to those two lighting districts.
Correct, in the budget for the following year.
Yeah, so we don't have to go through what we went through before.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we talked about that with Jen when we were going through special districts.
Yeah.
I think she's got a handle on it, but I'll verify that.
Okay.
These are just going to get added to the lighting districts that are already there.
Correct. And we have money sitting from the bond.
Conversion.
Right. Yes, that is left still to pay for it.
Storm erosion repair in Clinton Heights and Brickwalk.
So we had, as you heard when I was last here, we had some damage in the Clinton Heights, storm damage in the Clinton Heights and Brickwalk drainage districts. We just actually received a notice, an email from Onondaga County Emergency Management this afternoon. There will be, it does not appear that there will be any funding through FEMA for damage caused by that storm. So we are...
For anything? Anything in the county?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. No. Whether it be public infrastructure. Oh, no, there's two packets for each one.
Okay.
I didn't get them stapled. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
So,
I don't need the picture.
No. They're separated by
cost.
Yeah. So basically, someplace I got screwed up here and handing these out, but we had some damage. We had about 500 feet of swale damage in the Clinton Heights drainage district.
Right here? You're talking about back here?
Yeah. There's a, I guess it doesn't print real well, but there's a faint yellow line that's between the wastewater treatment plant and the outfall to the river. Unfortunately, that damage is significant. Erosion 3 and 4 feet deep in spots. Probably 2 10-wheeler loads of gravel and debris washed out across the neighbor's lawn. The swale is a gully now. It's not a defined swale. If we don't fix it, it's going to continue to erode and it's going to start to affect private property. and continue to dump silt into the river, which is something that we're not allowed to do under our MS4 permit. So that one's actually relatively, from a financial standpoint, that one's not as hard to swallow as the Brickwalk one. So we'll start with that one. So estimate on that one is just shy of $84,000. There is currently just over $65,000 in the fund balance of the district, including what's budgeted this year and what's in the balance. So we can do one of two things. We could do a band to pay for some of this. So if we use $55,000 of the fund balance and bonded a band for $29,000, it would add about $15 a year for 5 years to the debt service to that district. We can use fund balance and then take the $29,000 and divide it by 462 units, and it works out to about $67 per each house for 1 year to pay for that. And that would be legal. You just have to pay it back. So the general fund can loan money to the district. It just has to be repaid in next year's fees for the district. So those are kind of our options of what we can do, or you can ban for more and save
or we
more
could
fund
use
balance.
ARPA like we
or
did with Coastman's, right?
Or you can use ARPA money.
That is an
option. Or a combination of ARPA money and fund balance.
What I think we should do is, if we're going to allocate some money to it, take the 100,000 or whatever. How much did we use out of that 100,000 for Mills Road? Do you remember? Do you got an idea?
Yeah.
Wasn't over 10, right?
No, it was less than 10.
Yeah,
I
it was
want
like
to say seven
or eight.
Bucks.
Yeah. So what I think we could do is take the remaining money from the Mills Road Water Project and reallocate it to the Clinton Heights and Brickwalk Drainage District, and we can decide how much of it we want to go into that, because that's done. So we've already allocated it out and accounted for it. And this is...
Well, I'll just say this right off the bat. I'm in this drainage district, so I'm not going to talk on this subject.
All right.
I'm just going to remove myself.
You're going to abstain?
I'm going to abstain.
Right. What was option two if there was a one-time fee, 67?
So it would be 29,000 divided by... $62.77 for a one-time fee.
Okay. That's in Clinton Heights.
That would be Clinton Heights.
Okay. Right. Let's talk about Brickwalk as well.
Brickwalk's another story. Brickwalk is another one of these small special districts that's very isolated, only has 15 units in it. That's a much longer swale, however, the erosion isn't as deep and it is not as severe. So the cost estimate for that is just shy of $60,000. And they don't have any fund balance in the drainage district. If you bonded for the entire project, or did a band for the entire project cost, the payment would be $950 a year for 5 years for each homeowner, which is that's significant. You could look at doing longer bonding, but it's such a small amount. I think that the rates are going to be high, and the cost of doing the legal work to do an actual formal bond sale is probably, what do you think, Tony, at least 15% of the...
I don't even know if they'll do it for that amount.
It's such a small number, it would be hard to sell.
I don't think they'll do it.
Package it with something else, it's probably not...
I think you have to do a ban.
You'd have to do a five-year ban anticipation note. And I think that's the only way you can finance that small of an amount.
My thoughts on this, and I went out, Elle and I walked all that area, and this is a once-in-a-decade type storm, and unfortunately FEMA isn't going to provide any help with it, but this is the type of thing that if it was big enough, they would. So we have some money already allocated out for a project on Mills Road, and the people over there decided that they didn't want to move forward with their project. So I think if we take some of the money and allocate it, a portion of it, to both of these projects, that would be the fair thing. Do we have any other projects from that storm? It was
no,
the one.
Not anything that requires immediate attention.
But we got the one $5,000 along that swale, right?
Yeah, that is. I was assuming we were going to use drainage district fund balance to take care of that, and that work is complete. The highway department did it.
They already did it?
Yeah, it's already done.
That was a small amount. They had plenty of money in there, right?
I don't think we spent $2,000.
Okay, all right. So the only two we have are these two right here, right?
That are...
Big ones.
Yeah, of any significance.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't think so.
we had some repairs over in Timber Banks, but nothing that's... You know, thousands and thousands of dollars, and it was more roadside repair stuff than anything.
So I'm inclined to suggest that we use that money to help mitigate the cost on these two large repairs.
We also have the $15,000 of ARPA funding that was allocated to Amelia Park Drainage District that the homeowners decided they didn't want to give the easements for.
Right.
So in total we have. We'll say $90,000 from Mills Road and $15,000 from Amelia Park.
Right.
So $105,000 that's been allocated to other projects that are not going to go forward. That you could split, you know, however you want to split it up. I will say, the Brickwalk Drainage District maintenance fee is going to need to increase. I mean, it's pretty obvious that district with only 15 houses in it.
Right, but. If we can mitigate some of that cost, I think we have, we were going to use it for Mills Road to help those people out. Why not help out some people that during a disaster, this, and that's really what it is, during a severe storm that caused damage that is once in a decade, hopefully, type damage. I would like to suggest that we reallocate that money to help with these two drainage districts to help mitigate the cost there.
So in total, we need $89,000.
No.
We got 29 over here. Well, 60 over here.
If we use the whole fund balance for Clinton Heights. So basically, we'd be spending everything the Clinton Heights Drainage District has in it with the maintenance that we have to do this year, the other repair that the highway department did. So we'd be taking that fund balance to zero if we did. So it'd be $29,000 and $60,000. It'd be $90,000 to pay.
That's 89. That's what I said. 89,000.
Yeah, but we're completely depleting the fund balance of the Clinton Heights Drainage District.
So, but we have 115.
Yep.
At our not disposal, but you know, it's already been allocated. So.
Maybe save.
Let's not drain the fund balance.
Well, that's what it says. Maybe save $16,000. So allocate the $60,000 for brick walk and then pull back the remainder put towards Clinton Heights. And that way you save some fund balance in Clinton Heights to cover ongoing expenses.
Right. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'd like not to drain the fund balance. I'd like to get this taken care of. We have money, we've allocated.
And these estimates are high. I don't have survey to go off of to do accurate quantities, so we're just using general estimates of how much stone we're going to use. And I know our stone quantities are high, but I don't want to give you
a smaller number and have to
come back for more. So
I appreciate that.
So I have a couple of questions. And they're completely coming from two different vantages. And the first part of it is I'm inclined to help wherever we can help if that's possible. So the first question is going to sound, it's definitely not an engineer, Al. A swale is a very gentle drainage ditch, right? Why can't you just leave it alone? I mean, nature will fill it back in with trees and brush and stuff. And I'm not saying to do that. I just want to know what the reason is why we couldn't just let
it go. So the reason why you wouldn't want to do it in brick walk is that there's a downstream stormwater detention basin. That swale is going to continue to erode just because it's not a defined channel now. You just have a very narrow channel that's eroded. So you have a smaller area during low flow events, which causes higher velocity and more erosion. So like that channel that's eroded now is going to just continue to get deeper, because it's not spreading the water over a larger area like you would have with a normal parabolic shaped swale. So, and if you allow that to keep eroding, it's just gonna fill our stormwater pond with sediment, and we're gonna have to do more maintenance to the stormwater pond long-term. And quite frankly, you've got left an eyesore in these homeowners' backyards.
Well, when you say it's gonna continue to erode, I mean, I didn't see this site. Is it just a brush and grasses and what's in these
well,
soils?
A couple of homeowners in brick walk. One homeowner had sprayed weed killer and put round like river stone, like landscape river stone, in the swale because he didn't like the looks of the vegetation that grew through it. So all that river stone washed downstream, and you know there's no vegetation left. Another homeowner was spraying weed killer because he didn't like the weedy the swale, and he didn't like the frequency that we mowed the swale, which is we mow them annually to keep the woody vegetation down so we don't have to remove trees to maintain them. So that's part of the reason why we had erosion in that specific spot. And with the one on Kilo Road in Clinton Heights, it's it's going to continue to erode, and you're going to start to affect adjacent private property owners, including the bank up against the wastewater treatment plant that's county property, and the private property owner to the west of the swale.
So you fix it. So what's it going to look like after you're done? So these homeowners that want to put little river rocks and things, or
so we're going to use riprap. So we're going to use angular stone that locks together and prevents the stone from rolling downstream during high flows. We had constructed some check dams in the swale next to the Kilo Road problem in the past. And those check dams held, but every place, every spot in between the check dams, it just eroded. The velocity was just too much for earth and swale with the amount of flow that it received. So that's we replaced that outlet pipe a few years ago. It was a 36-inch outlet pipe, and it's, I'm sure with that storm event, especially knowing that Kilo Road had flooded and had, you know, up to a foot of road water in it during that storm event, that swale must have been really, had some serious velocity to do the amount of damage that it did. We're bound by our MS4 stormwater permit to prevent erosion from flowing into waters in the U.S. If we don't fix the swale, we're going to be in violation of our stormwater permit. And we're going to, you know, over time affect private property owners.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate the response on that. And the second one is kind of in the category of a devil's advocate position, not position, but question. So we've got ARPA money. We're lucky we have that ARPA money, and it can be used to technically and legally to do this, but are we setting an unfair precedent? And again, I'm just coming at this from a devil's advocate point of view. Supposing there's another horrific event like this and we're out of ARPA money. And the next drainage district says, well, you did it for them. Why aren't you doing it for us? What's our response?
Well, I would say we had grant money that we were able to assist with. If we can get grant money, we will do that. If we don't have the availability of grant money, then we wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, but in this instance, we do have the availability of the grant money. I mean, but it's not. Grants are one-time things, just like anything. And you know, luckily we still have some of that left. That's what I would say. I mean, what else would you say?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be fixed. So where the funds come from?
Well, normally, Peter, the district pays for everything. I mean, that's the breaks. I mean, I appreciate where I come from. But I just want to make sure that in the future, that these folks, including the ones that used Roundup and took the rocks out or whatever they did, they're getting a free ride here. And they suffered this horrific event. You know, ought they to, should they pay something besides whatever we're going to use from ARPA? And I'm just raising the question.
That's something that we can decide. You know, nobody said you had to use all of it. I mean, if you want to use a portion of it, if you want to use... You know, that's why we're having a discussion. But,
What did we have left between Mills Road? What did we have left in Mills Road?
Approximately $105,000 between the two projects.
Oh, between the two?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know we've given, you know, we did Whispering Oaks Drainage repair for, you know, $30,000. Is there... should we look at consolidating these districts so this doesn't become an exorbitant cost of 15 homes?
Yeah, I mean, I think the districts, correct me if I'm wrong, I did some research on this in the past. I think the districts have to be, to consolidate, they have to be contingent. So, like,
I don't think they have to be contiguous. I don't believe so. I mean, I'm not.
For the most part, when you consolidate, they got to be next to you. You can't consolidate with one that's 10 miles away.
So that's right. That's where I was going. Like,
but I mean, we have Amelia Park next door. We put $16,000 to, and then what? The homeowners didn't want an easement.
Yeah. So that's. I guess that's where I'm going with it. Is you have two big. It would be nice to take Clinton Heights, Amelia Park, and Brickwalk and lump them all together. But from what I, and I'm not an attorney, you know. So, but from what I've researched, I think to consolidate. The districts are supposed to be contiguous or next to each other, and all right. Three of those districts have property in between them that doesn't make them contiguous.
Right. But yes,
ideally that would help ease the burden because you'd put more. You know, as you can see, the cost of Clinton Heights to pay for this, if they had to pay for it right now, wouldn't be all that exorbitant. because they have 462 units. Well, right. When you got a district like Brickwalk with 15 units, it's tough. When you have something happen, it's hard to recover from.
Right. Yeah. No, and I understand that. And that's where, you know, all this drop-in development on the peninsula catches us in an issue like this, because this parcel gets sold off, that parcel gets sold off, but there's nothing to keep it all together, and it doesn't end up getting built in. And that's what we're going to run into with, I'm going to guess, these places probably have dry sewers also.
Well, I mean, we have another difficulty on Amelia Park and Brickwalk, and the land that surrounds Amelia Park and goes between Amelia Park and Brickwalk was bought by a nature conservancy, and it's forever wild. So it's never going to be developed.
Right. So now we've got dry sewers here, and
then we're going to ask them whether they can make an easement across that property or negotiate with them to get an easement across that property to serve Brickwalk and Amelia Park and get them connected to sewers.
Right. I mean,
well, let's deal with this problem right now. Yeah. You know, that's down the road.
I mean, I'm fine with like some kind of something, but I don't think it should be, you know, all, because there's other people who aren't in districts that suffered issues that have to deal with it on their own, because they're not in a drainage district, you know, wasn't created or how did Timber Banks make out with that wash? I mean, how are they?
Yeah, well, we dodged a bullet from that. The town dodged a bullet because we gave the sewers to the county.
So it was ended up being
to the pump station was pushing $1 million.
Okay, I didn't hear any big numbers, and I knew Timber Banks was an issue after trying to drive through there that night.
Yeah, so. It's there's some work that needs to be done down there.
Now that drainage swale, that's part of Timber Banks Drainage District, right? So,
well, that's not a swale. That's the roadside drainage. From the private road that goes to, you know, feeds down to the clubhouse and the golf course, over top what happened is the stormwater ponds were full of capacity, and because the outlet pipe from that private road comes in to the stormwater pond that's on hole 18 adjacent to it, and that pond, the elevation of that pond got above the outlet pipe. Therefore, the water on the other side of the road, where the pump station is at the low point, rose at the same level as the pond. So it just came up. There was no place for the water and the runoff that comes off the driving range and the road to go. I mean, you designed those drainage systems to handle a 10-year storm event, and we got 7 inches of rain in 3 hours.
Right.
Which exceeds a 100-year storm event. So the system just wasn't designed to convey that much water in that short period of time.
I was talking about what comes across River Road and goes down through the
the
ditch.
Yes.
That washed out part of what's it, Forest?
Forest Ridge. Forest Ridge. Shoulder of the road washed there. Actually, Taroli just went ahead and fixed it just because he had. House he was closing
working on the town
right next door, and he just went ahead and fixed it and armored that slope of riprap and reseeded it, and we provided him with 4 new end sections for the pipe that had eroded, and that's all that's for. So that was a break for us, and a great insight to Mr. Albuquerque to use the town.
Well, I'm good with using ARPA money at whatever level you all feel comfortable with. I think it's the right thing to do. So I don't know what you want to do.
So everybody else want to do?
Well, I think if we can fix this problem without harming any other residents in any other way, fiscally, then why wouldn't we? That's what I think.
So we're talking about 60 for what's Brickwalk was 60, right?
60, yeah. And then 45 for
For Clinton Heights, because that would be would only be dollars for them, right?
Well, we actually would have enough money in the fund balance to cover it, so we could could keep their drainage district fee the same.
Well, what about the work they've already done there? Has that already been covered?
Yeah,
is there any more work to be done in that district this year?
Yeah, there's $1,000 of mowing, but nothing significant. So they would still right. have a fund balance.
We'll have to take a look at the what's going to be left after this if we do that, and then just make sure that there's, because that's a big district.
It is.
Make sure that there's enough in there before we set the budget this year.
So we're collecting about $16,000 a year on that district. Our maintenance costs are right around $5,000 a year on that district typically. So we're building fund balance in that district, which is what we are trying to do, because there are some more pipes that either need to be replaced or slip lined in that district, and we have a sinkhole problem that we're trying to figure out how to address.
Are we at the point where you need to do this work now?
I'll be perfectly honest. Taroli is available. They're doing Whispering Oaks Monday. They're doing the Radisson project as soon as they finish up Whispering Oaks, and then they can move right over to Clinton Heights and Brickmore. I would love to just get it all done in one fell swoop and not have to try to get into their schedule again. They have availability, and it's but to me, I would just, and we'll have to coordinate with the highway department for hauling spoils and some other debris removal and tasks and moving stone around and whatnot. So we now is a good time of year.
I'm good with that. I'm good with using the 60 for Brick Walk and the remaining 45 for Clinton Heights.
So the other thing that goes along with this that I really want to bring to the board's attention that we really need to address, in addition to addressing our creating plans for each individual building.
Oh, let's get by this first. Just anybody have a problem with that? Anybody have any other ideas? What do you, are you good with using the 105 from Mills Road and Amelia Park, reallocating it to these two projects?
Well, I'm fine with reallocating it. I just think we should, I don't think we should pay for all. I'm going with Bob that I think we can do something for Brick Walk, but I don't think we should cover the whole bill for them, but not.
Okay, good. All right.
I mean,
come up with a number then, because.
Cover three quarters of it, 45.
For Brick Walk?
Yeah. I mean, then there's still, these are not run of the mill homes in Brick Walk. They're already paying $135 annual maintenance charge.
I've got some contingency in this budget just because I don't have survey to work off of.
Right.
I mean, there's $14,000 worth of snow. I hope it's not that much. Actually, I know it's not going to be that much, but.
How much do they have in their fund balance, Brick Walk?
Like less than $1,000.
Oh, okay.
So you want to drain that one? You want to drain it?
Okay. So. Kevin's idea is three quarters for what, both of them? Kevin?
I mean, I think, because they have a significant fund balance over at Clinton Heights, I think 45K for each would suffice. But that's just me, throwing that out there right now. I mean, you'd be looking at.
What's right, I'll write the motion.
Yeah. Who else? Who else has any ideas? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I don't want to penny ante these people. I mean, if we're going to do it, we should just do it.
Okay.
That's where I stand. And I don't believe that one district is going to say, they took care of all of ours, and they didn't take care of all of ours. We're taking care of both. Well, we're considering taking care of both.
I'm worried about the one next year, Peter.
I understand that you're worried about the one next year. If it's a 100-year event, maybe there won't be one next year.
Well, and if we don't...
still have some...
I mean, this is grant money, so, I mean, if there's no grant money there, then, I mean, what can you... You can only work with what you have.
Right.
And the outside of grant money, the law doesn't allow us to use any other funds other than funds that are in the drainage district, so... All right, so we're going to use 60 for brick walk, up to, what is it, up to 60 and up to 45 for Clinton Heights?
Yep.
Yes? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Can I make one more note on this?
Yes.
So we have no code on what homeowners can and can't do in easements.
We're going to have to address that. We'll do that. We'll talk about that. That'll be on our
next work session,
and we'll come up with a local law for that.
Work session or budget?
What?
Oh, next one,
yeah.
Budget.
The drainage district's maintenance contract.
Oh.
So we have the contract from last year had an extension clause written into it. The contractor has agreed to extend last year's prices and hold last year's prices to do the work this year. It would be essentially the same, doubling the contract amount. We would add 10 days of the hand work, four-man crew, and 5 days with the skid steer brush hog to do our annual pond and swale maintenance work. Various drainage districts. The contractor did a nice job last year. I didn't have any problems with him. He moved quickly and got the work done in an acceptable manner.
Is that okay to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just carry it over. Do we need a resolution for that?
To keep the same
we have it on there.
It is?
Yep, number C.
C. Okay. Any questions about that?
Did we have it budgeted?
We have
that budgeted. Okay, so we're all set.
Yep.
Yeah, that's stuff we have to do. So that's part of their maintenance. Any more questions for that? Okay. The budget work sessions. So. Dina printed out the dates that we have to have everything by. So we don't.
We did like the week of the 16th of October last time for all
yeah.
the budget work sessions.
Yeah. I mean,
whatever
we don't.
You decide, you know.
Yeah. We don't have to decide it tonight, but that's what we did. You weren't looking to get it tonight, right? Yeah, next time. So we did it the week of the 16th last time,
yeah.
And we have to have it done. Well, we should have it done by November 7th. Otherwise, we'll have to have a special meeting because Election Day is on the 7th of November, and you have to have it in by the first Thursday of or the next Thursday past Election Day. So the way it works out this year, we would probably want it by
the second, right? That's our first board meeting.
Let's see.
In November.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to take a look at your calendars, and then by the next meeting, we'll figure out and we'll schedule the work sessions.
I'm good, whatever you pick.
Why don't we take our calendars are out? Why don't we do it so we don't put something else on the calendar and make it more difficult? You know,
okay.
October 16th.
I'm good with the week of the 16th. I don't have anything on it.
Three days or 4 days again?
I think same as last year. Would we do it 4 days last time?
Yeah,
no,
we
did it 3 days,
three
right?
3 days, yeah.
I think we did three with an optional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Monday was just in case you didn't cover everything.
Yeah.
Right.
So just we can figure out what you want to do first, like little departments and then the bigger departments on the next.
Yeah. Just like we did it last year. That worked out okay.
Yeah.
Do parks and highway last. We get through the first two. And then realistically, looking at the budgets, it's pretty much the same. The smaller departments pretty much the same. There wasn't much of an increase on them at all. When we get them, you can take a look at them. We might not even have to do those. I don't think we do. I looked at them, and it's insignificant almost. The only ones that will really have to pay attention to is the park and the highway.
Right. So should we block off the 16th, 17th, and 18th?
Yeah, I just did
I'm fine
it.
With that. Yep.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
All right.
What time are we doing it at?
Well, as early as possible, whatever time everybody can get here.
You name it. I can be there.
Yeah. Five.
I mean, five.
So you want to do 16, 17,
I just don't Pete. I don't know what
5:30.
Your commitments are
5:30.
5:30.
It would be better for me. I don't want to walk in late. It'll be cutting it pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5:30.
5:30.
So you want to do the 16th, 17th, and 18th, 5:30, and then an extra day the 19th in case you need it at 5:30?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's, that would be our
board
that would be
meeting,
our board meeting. Yeah. That would be our work session.
That could be our work session.
If we need it.
If needed, okay. So you just want to figure out which departments at which time later on?
You can figure that out later.
Yeah, I'll schedule.
Because I'll have to post it on the website.
Yeah, because what I want to do, once you give us the budget, right, you present it to the board, have all the board members look at it, and then we'll decide if we even need to do, if the rest of the board members want to do, you know, certain ones. There may be ones that they don't see any reason to do it. They're good with it already, but... and if not, we'll schedule.
Sounds good.
And I think that the presentation of the budget falls on an actual town board meeting.
Yeah, we looked at it, right?
Yeah.
It does.
So that works out. So we don't have to have a special meeting.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else?
I'm good.
All right, it's 6:23, and we'll call the work session closed.
Oh, thanks, Bob.